Hi, I'm Max Malins, and you're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the first ever, well, it's not live, because we kind of do it live every Sunday, but the first live Bears Beyond the Gate podcast in front of real people. Now, hey, so what? We do have a Falcons fan in the house. And fair play to him. Fair play for turning up, and we appreciate it. But at least, unlike your team, you've turned up, so that's pretty good. Bring back relegation. No, let's not do that. Right, okay. So, to be honest, you must have read my script, because you've already done the first bit, was on the agenda. I was going to try and prove that we actually did have real people, and I was going to ask the audience to give us a couple of Bristols, but you already did it. But I think we should do it one more time. So after three, can we have some big Bristols from the audience? One, two, three.
Bristol! 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 Bristol!
Oh, we knocked it on. Forward pass. Right, anyway, so we're here at, live at the Bristol Beer Factory tap room. Those of you that know, we record our pod from here on some Sundays, not every Sunday. It depends if Lee could be bothered to be here, come back from Bradley Stoke, or me and Miles are not off skiing or something like that. So Bristol Beer Factory have always been very good to us. It's one of the simplest sponsorship deals you'll ever have. They let us use the space. We lock up afterwards, and they give us a free beer every now and again. It's very, very pure. So thanks very much to them. And round of applause for Bristol Beer Factory tap room. Studio bar. The plan was to try and not do anything too different tonight, mainly because we don't really know what else to do. So we are going to do a standard podcast. We're going to talk about the game, talk about our impressions of it. Obviously, it's a little bit difficult because normally we get a chance to look at the highlights afterwards before we type, but we haven't. We may need a bit of help from you lot at some point. And then we're going to talk about the next game. Which is at Tigers, and obviously there's something to think about. Yeah. Then we're going to discuss a few things that have come up during the week with regards to the club and any issues that have arisen. But then we've got a little special section at the end that some people have very kindly made the effort to fill in that Google form that I sent out and have given us a few questions. So we actually have a few questions. Some of you I know are here, but from other people, and we're going to go through the questions, and hopefully it won't be too painful, and we'll have finished in a kind of normal time. Now, this obviously it's live on YouTube, but this is the audio stream will go out on Spotify and all the other places it goes out. Well, I'd like to say first thing tomorrow morning, but I'm not sure it's going to happen because I've got a geography field trip in the morning. I've got to prepare for that as well. So I'll do my best.
He's going to Chepstow.
I mean, as a lot of you know, there's not a lot of editing that goes into it, but it still has to be done. Right. So, but having said all that, I mean, clearly I wasn't sure what the day was going to be like today. I had to kind of cover all eventualities. I assumed we were going to win, and it wasn't, you know, it was better than I thought. But I thought before we actually get into the game, I thought, it's all, you've come down here. I did kind of tease it by saying we had a sort of special thing for you. People thought it was like Pat Lamb or Steve Lansdowne. That's pod, that'll be the live one down the line. But what I thought we'd do to just get us all excited, I put together a little video of what I thought have been the best tries of the season. It's about 5 minutes long. I'm going to show it on the screen. We're all just going to watch it, enjoy it. We are in a very positive point at the moment, and this will help us. And then when we finish this, we're going to start the pod. We ready, boys?
And we should also say, if anyone wants to get another beer, now is the time.
Well, you could just get up and walk out at any time. And if you come back, that's a bonus. But the bar is going to be open for a little bit longer.
How good was that, boys and girls?
I mean, my salivary ducts are on overtime. That was just sexy rugby as ever from Bristol.
So, yeah, that was about 5 minutes, that. But obviously, if I manage to do today's ones, it'll be about 10 minutes long. So, hopefully. So, yeah, so good tries there. That got us going. I kind of did that just in case we lost today. But, you know, it's nice to see that as well. And obviously put the Bath ones in there as well, particularly the last one when the £1 million a year Finn Russell kicked it to Rich Lane and went over. So anyway, that was just sort of a little bit. That was basically it. That was the treat that I was going to get for you. So we're going to get on with it, boys. So we obviously had a game today. This is how we usually start. And in the old days, perhaps we were a little bit structured. We try and go through the game every 5 minutes after this happened and after 10 minutes this. But we realised we couldn't really remember quite a lot of it. So what we decided this season, and I don't know if anyone kind of worked this out, because we did have we've had a bit of an existential crisis at the beginning of the season, because our spiritual leader, the guy that actually did start the pod up, Tony Cox, decided that he didn't want to do it in the summer. And we kind of had to think about it for a bit, didn't we, boys, and decide whether we wanted to carry on. But we felt that if we were going to carry on, we just needed to try and simplify it a little bit and not spend all a Sunday thinking about it. So we kind of decided to go for a bit more of a freestyling type pod, and it seems to have worked. We wanted to try and get listeners and fans involved a little bit more as well. So some of you may know that we often sent out little posts for like short, sharp summaries and stuff like that. And we actually, you know, as a teacher, I was quite impressed with some of the stuff that came back. We had some acrostic poems, we had haikus, we had prose, we had essays. So I was really pleased. So it kind of kept us going, to be honest. But anyway, lads, I mean, we have to, at this point, we have to, one of us has to confess to something. So obviously, myself and Miles were down the game this afternoon. We had a couple of pints here first, and then we had a couple of pints there, and then got ourselves ready. And like I assume most of you were down there as well, realised we had a really good day. But Lee, do you want to say, can explain I just say where something? You were?
Pete, can I just say, before Lee interjects, we obviously introduce ourselves as 2.5 season ticket holders. Today, sadly, it dropped to 2.25 season ticket holders, and our good mate Lee might be able to explain. How was the game, Lee?
Right, so for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Lee, and I'm from Wibbywood. And, you know, when you come from a council estate, you tend to try and bend the rules slightly, right? So I know this is going out on YouTube, so I have to be very careful, but so I have a TV box, which isn't strictly legal, right? Which usually does work. And, you know, I watched the games absolutely fine. And today it failed. And what a day for it to fail. Because, I mean, literally, I was trying to follow on social media, and it was try after try after try. And I'd written the first five down, and I think I got them all in different order. So what Pete's trying to say is, like, basically I'm a scumbag from a council estate, and absolutely, and without this lovable scumbag, these two guys who aren't from Bristol would never have a podcast.
This is true.
I mean, that, to be fair, that's why we tolerate him, because he is the authentic Bristolian. He is, and we tolerate him for all of his misdemeanors. So basically, Miles, it's you and me.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and hopefully a bit of help from the audience maybe as well.
The problem is, you're right, there were so many tries. We'll try and remember what we did. But however, there is light at the end of the tunnel, as in next season, there's rumours that Lee will renew his season ticket. So if you don't want to chat to him, just go leave after the game, but we will see him back next year. And anyway, Pete and I will chat about the game today.
I thought you were about to say something, Lee. Anything you want to say on that?
I was just going to say those rumours are confirmed.
But
I will be getting a season ticket, or season card, as it called nowadays. But because I am a cheap...
Well, the cheap...
Certainly not in the corner of the South Stand.
Well, I would just like to say, actually, I actually don't agree with my friend Pete here in his discussion, because he hates the safe stand for some reason. I don't know why. But what I will say is, I am in the Dorman stand, as usual. But because I am a cheapskate from the council estates, I've gone to Dorman Wings. So
I think it's not even the wings, is it? It's the Dorman end. Because the tumbleweed is.
Put it this way, it's £290. And I know for a fact that there's a seat next to these boys where I used to sit. So £290 for a £500 ticket. Yeah. Boom. Wibby Wood wins again.
Right. So to summarise, he's going to get a season card next season, so we'll have a bit more input. But anyway, we got to get on with this, boys. We're talking too much. So, Miles, what I'd like to say is, you were there. First impressions, you know, the game finished a couple of hours ago. Just give us a quick summary. What did you think of it? What sort of things can you remember from it? Any points that are raised? Off you go.
Yeah, your problem is like 13 tries, I think, are quite hard to summarise, aren't they? However, you know, what a fantastic performance. I mean, as we well know as fans, Steve Diamond can turn up at Ashton Gate with a team and usually turn games on its head, can't they? He does not conform with anything you plan for. With Sale, I'd like to say Newcastle would have turned up with a game plan, but neither he nor Steve Diamond did. And it was quickly... Anyway, he's gone. The Newcastle fan's gone. I mean... And we very quickly tweeted after 14.3 minutes, what's the quickest bonus point score ever scored in the Premiership? And those buggers from bloody Harlequins apparently have beaten us by 1 minute.
So allegedly...
Allegedly, back in 2004. Yeah. So thank you for the fans for answering so quickly. But, you know, what a fantastic result. We, you know, a bonus point try, 5 points within 15 minutes, you know, that was the game won for, as far as I could see.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I kind of hoped it was going to be that sort of game. I thought we've got to go hard. We've got the momentum. We've got positivity. But there's always, as we all know as Bristol fans, there's always a little voice in the back of your head. You've got on that roller coaster. You know that it's going to go wrong. But yeah, it's a truism. But I've got to say, personally, after that first 14 minutes, yeah, it actually became a little bit of a procession. It became a bit of a an exhibition game, to be honest. But hey, I mean, I'm not going to complain about it. It was fantastic. And actually, to be honest, that first 40 there was barely any mistakes. We butchered a couple early on, but the one thing that I remember from the game, and I'm sure a lot of you will know this as well, is that we did not do one kick exit out of the 22. And in fact, when you look at the stats, it says that we kicked from hand 3 times. Now, one of them, I'm sure, was a little grubber that went through. One of them was a little grubber that hit someone, and then there must have been one other. But there was definitely not one box kick. There was not one kick into space. I mean, I guess we could argue the fact that we realised very early on that there was no point doing that because we were going to win anyway, and we wanted to practice, put everything into practice. But it was, you know, when we think back to certain times in the season when clearly the game plan had changed, and even Pat came out live on TNT, didn't he, when he was with Pat Sanderson at Sale, and had kind of admitted that everyone else was doing it, so he thought he should do it. Which I thought was quite an interesting admittance online. It's, you know, it was great to, it was, I mean, it was almost too much. It was like, hang on a minute, you know, you are allowed to kick it every now and again if you want to. So that was something that stuck in my mind. It was quite interesting. But of course, you could argue that they made it easy for us to do that. I mean, we ran from our 22 and they didn't really make a huge effort. But then again, you've still got to execute. And of course, as we found out in the second half, when we did try and execute, we then dropped it about 4 or 5 times. So it could have been 100 points, really. What do you reckon, Lee? What do you think about that? Are you gutted that you missed it?
No, I just wanted to ask anyone in the crowd, actually. Did anyone feel sorry for Falcons today at all?
No. Oh, hang on. Just to clarify, lots of people said no. 2 people put their hands up as well. Yeah. So I think...
Well, I think you're right. It's not a great advert for Premiership rugby, is it? I mean, I think we could all admit that an 85-14 result is not great. And, you know, there's a few questions. Yeah, go for it. Go for it, Roddy.
It's good for
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there were so many... Absolutely.
Well, exactly.
Well, exactly. It helps our points difference. We are not complaining as Bristol fans. We never would if we get... Oh, yeah, I was chatting to a listener before the pod. We believe it could be the highest points score this season. And, in fact, potentially the highest points, the top three in the last sort of in a Premiership era. But that's, yeah, you know, it isn't a good advert for Premiership rugby. Well, there's a question later on we'll chat about. But as Bristol fans, I think today we shall not worry too much about that.
I mean, personally... Right. Personally, I would say I don't care about Falcons. I mean, I'm a Bristol rugby supporter and I would want my team to win by as many points as they can, full stop. And they're in the league, right? So they're competitive. I know they're not competitive, but, you know, and at the end of the day, we need to get these points on board, don't we? So, like, The best teams, the All Blacks have always stood on the throat of a competitor, haven't they? And to win the game. And that's what we need to do. We need to be
ruthless.
Cutthroat, ruthless and have no mercy. And until we have that mindset, we won't get anywhere.
So, yeah, good point, Edley. I agree with you. No show, no mercy. I mean, going back to the game, a couple of things I made. I mean, I kind of prepared by writing a few things down during the game, but I'm just going to read out a few things I wrote down, and you may or may not agree. The first thing I wrote down was running from deep, but I think we've covered that. It was like if it was the Bears' way, you know, from that first season, the COVID season when none of us actually were there, but, you know, we watched it on telly. A couple of other things. Siva Nualango. He's, well, yeah, firstly... He didn't get a yellow card, so that was a good start. But, you know, Pat has shown a lot of faith in Siva. And we know that he's the sort of player that can cause a lot of problems, the tank on the flank and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, today I thought we saw what we want to see from Siva. I thought both in attack and defence... He was pretty awesome. I mean, there was a couple of... I mean, one of their guys went off, didn't he? His ribs were rearranged in the first half. And he showed why we signed him. I mean, he's been one of those frustrating signings that we all know he's got potential, but he's been injured. And then when he's come back, he's obviously, you know, he's caused a few problems. He's gone high. He's not got his tackle height right. So what I thought we'd do, first bit of interactivity, is Siva Nualango is with us. I'm going to tell you what the question is, then you're going to decide what your answer is you put up. So if you think he's someone we should stick with and he should stay at the Bears, you're going to put your hand up and go for it. Yeah, I didn't do that very well, did I? So yeah, for those people that can't see, a lot of people put their hands up. I've got to admit, you can put your hands down now, thanks. I've got to admit, I had doubts about him. When you look at the likes of Noah Heward who come in, professional rugby players, do the basics, Rich Lane, come from the Championship. There was an argument that we were indulging him a little bit, but I was pleased to see today, even if it was easier for him, you know, that's going to give him some confidence. And, you know, we've got three big games to come. If he's on form, Leicester Tigers, Saracens and Harlequins are not going to fancy seeing Siva Nualango. So that was one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing is there were two massive, I mean, the Grand National was last weekend, wasn't it? And I thought I'd come back to Aintree tonight when I saw Stephen Luatua galloping like a stayer, like going over the Melling Road, finding another gear. And then not only that, but then Joe Owen in the second half. I don't remember. I've never seen anything like that. That was like his legs just got longer and longer as he started running. And the worst thing about that was that he didn't quite manage to get to the line. But I mean, let's be honest, you shouldn't really be letting a second rower run in that far. But, I mean, what a great, you know, it reminded me of the future that we've got the likes of James Dunn, who's now a, you know, he's an established first team player, come up through the academy, and we've got the likes of Joe Owen. So that was another thing. Essentially, the whole bench came on in the second half. And it was quite heartening to see that they are obviously pushing for a place. There was a little bit of a lull, But, you know, it was great. And then obviously Vaca Tower, you know, scored. I mean, I don't know if you remember the last try he scored. He kind of druggled it with himself. I thought, I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm not sure he did it on purpose.
Apparently, it was Kate's favourite try.
It was a great try. But my point about Vaca Tower was that he's undoubtedly a great player. I question the fact that he was played quite early on. I just think now we look at Jimmy Williams in the centre, we need someone like Vaca Tower to come on in the second half in a game like that and do what he did is kind of maybe the way it should have been for the season. But that was my point.
Well, I think you're right, Pete. I think we've chatted a little bit about the pod. I mean, if we were to give Vaca Tower another couple of years contract, I think, hands up, who would give him another contract? Well, there you go. That's quite an encouraging amount. The fact that we are keeping Kalavati Ruvuvu on the bench...
With not the likes on the bench.
Not even on the bench today, sorry. Off the bench even, out of the first team squad. It's fantastic. I mean, to come back from missing quite a few games, he had a phenomenal performance and he has such an impact on the game. I thought we had a great afternoon.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention. I just wanted to mention Josh Caulfield. I mean, for somebody that probably by his own admittance was, you know, was a squad signing, to see him like pirouetting, offloading, albeit running 50 yards, albeit offside. That to me, again, you know, let's hope, let's be positive, that mindset to go forward and somebody that trying something a bit different. I think, you know, fans and us have questioned certain things over the season, the last couple of seasons, but, you know, there must be something going well if people like him want to try and play rugby, and I think that's what we're here for. It's difficult to know what else to say for the game today because, you know, cannot argue with 13 tries. You cannot argue with 1,000 metres gained. But at the end of the day, there's no relegation. Falcons probably... I mean, I'm sure Steve Diamonds has got a view on how they performed, but, you know, it's hard to judge it. And I think, like everything, we've got to take every game as it comes. And I think next Saturday, away at Tigers... You know, he were 17-18 against Saints yesterday before the red card. You know, they were in that game, and we know what they're like. They also are not, you know, they've got a bit of beef from John Afoagate. Yeah. Pat Lamb's going to get a pretty frosty welcome when he gets there. You know, it's going to be good. So, you know, I think we've got to hope that the confidence in today will take us through. Lee, you were going to say something.
No,
put him on the spot.
I was just listening to Teacher Pete, and it's like, honestly,
sorry. I've got to do two persons' jobs here.
Is anyone else falling asleep listening to Pete? No. Can we have a show of hands?
We're awake. We're awake.
That guy's, he's already asleep.
Yeah, he is. It's either me or it's the beers. It's one of our combination.
No.
What I thought was, though, because it's one of those games, it's, you know, what more can we say? It was fantastic. We're loving it. I don't know if anybody else has got an opinion on today or any points that we've missed. And if you have, I'm willing to walk around with my microphone and you could tell us. We've got one. We'll start with one. So this is your moment to tell us what you think. Oh, you've got to say what your name is, by the way, as well.
Hi, my name's Mark. Did anybody else enjoy as much as me, Jens van Rensburg, actually taking the kicks? Beautiful.
Hey. Yeah, good point. I mean, this is something we might... We've got a little load of questions we're going to come on to, but I think we'll park that just for a little bit. But I think, yeah, seeing Jimmy Williams kick it, then Van Rensburg, yeah, I mean, that was good. He has done that before, hasn't he? So it was good to see it. Brilliant point. Anyone else got anything they'd like to add to our expert analysis of the game? We got a limerick. Let's go for the limerick.
Go for it.
Here we go. Hear me now. There's a fabulous team called the Bears who gave their opposition nightmares. The Falcons were lacking. They received a shellacking. And now we are full. We don't care. Come on, Bears.
Oh, come on.
There you go. Poetry. Actually, you reminded me. That was one thing I wrote down. I was going to say, I don't think it was a shellacking. I think it was a double shellacking, to be honest. I mean, it was a massacre. I don't know, what else could it be? It was total destruction.
So in Withywood, we have shellacking is the biggest beating you could give to someone. But In the council estates, that was a nun-chuffin. That was a nun-chuffin. And that was a proper, you know, when you got your nuns there and you chuff them up, that's what happened today.
Paul, can you put the old explicit thing on the YouTube channel?
Remember your family podcast, Lee?
But I can't be censored, surely, boys. Come on.
Of course not. So we've had a poet. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Because I feel like we're going to move on from the Newcastle game. We know what it is. We've had poetry. We've had a good point that I'd forgotten about Van Rensburg. You know, we all enjoyed that. I think I mentioned 1,000 metres. You looked at the stats,
didn't you? Yeah, 1,306 metres gained.
Yeah, that's serious. That's serious stats.
Against Newcastle, 207.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were all there. By the way, apart from Lee, was there anyone else who wasn't there this afternoon? So, yeah, fair enough. So I think we'll move on. So, of course, you know, there was a big thing about, you know, we had a six-week break. I don't know if anybody listened to, we tried to fill that gap with a couple of sort of extra things. I should have a big shout out to Dave Atwood, who I met in a nightclub in Bath last summer and asked him if he fancied coming on the pod, and he said yes. And it took a year, but yeah, I got him there in the end. Big Joe Joyce was very pleased to talk to us, but it was a nightmare for us, and it was a nightmare in a way for the Prem. But I think the good thing is that we are, I think it's right in saying we're the only team to win three in a row, is it, on the restart? So we're in a good place, but, to use a word that some of you know we use a lot, the caveat to this is that we've got Leicester away, we've got Saracens at home, and we've got Harlequins away. We're currently in fourth position. Can we have a cheer about that? And let's be honest, after that Exeter game after Christmas, I'm not sure anyone thought we'd be in fourth any time this season. So, boys, the question I've got to you is, what are we going to do next weekend? I think we tried to preview the game. There's not a lot we can say apart from what are we going to do, how are we going to play, and what players are we going to have. So, over to you, Lee, because you can tell us what you think is going to happen next Saturday at Welford Road.
Right, so we're talking about 15, yeah? So, I don't think anyone's any different. Max Meelens, fullback.
Yeah.
Now the wing is going to be quite interesting because, like, personally, we have to go with Siva, don't we? Because Hewer's unfit at the moment. Yeah.
Possibly.
So, and then we're going.
Well, the only thing.
Whoa!
Look like you're struggling.
Wait, there. I'm just thinking about things. See this. Teachers don't interrupt like that, do they? So we're going Siva on the wing, because I think Pat will give him another chance. And Siva is like an enigma, really. Sometimes I just think I don't know whether he's going to end up staying with us or not. But Siva on one wing, I think. Then we've got obviously Williams, Bernard Van Rensburg in the middle, Gabs on the other wing, Vakatawa. Someone say Vakatawa in the center. AJ, number 10, Rans, number 9.
All right, hang on, we'll just stop there for the moment. Anyway. So, Miles,
shall I summarize? So basically, we're going to have an unchanged team for next weekend.
Except
the fact that obviously Jimmy Williams maybe took a little of a knock in the second half. But, you know, we've got a week. Let's hope the strength and conditioning team and the medics get him sorted out. The bench was really encouraging. I think, you know, there's nothing that showed me today that same 15 can't go to Welford Road next weekend. I'm not going to say we're going to smash Leicester Tigers in the way we did Newcastle. It's a tough place to go, Welford Road. Hopefully some of our listeners here will be going next weekend. But I'm very... Come on, Briz.
Well, Miles,
I'm confident we're going to take the same team and get a win over Leicester.
I genuinely think we are going to go... Welford Road is a nightmare place to go to win, isn't it? Kayleigh, you know that. Right? But I genuinely think we can go there and we will beat them to bits next week. I really do. Come on. I really do. And we have to have that confidence going into the last, you know, three or four games of the season.
And just so in case you're wondering, I just got the nod from Kaylee, is that there is a supporters coach going. You still got spaces on it? Or there's about five spaces to go.
I actually read
they've almost sold out the tickets. So, you know, if not, watch it. So, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest... why not, you know, you don't change a team that's winning, but I think the only thing to worry about is James Williams. Looked like he went off. Hopefully not too bad. Ibatoya did everything but score a try today, but I think you're right. So what about the forwards? I've heard on reasonably good authority that Joe Batley may well be fit for next Saturday. And I think if Joe Batley's fit, he'll come back in. I mean, the front row, I mean, Carl Sinclair, I've not seen him run as fast today or cover as much ground. Fair play to him. I mean, Genji, there's nothing to say. I mean, what? I mean, and obviously for him, it's a big moment. He's got to go back to be honest, the place that he would, by his own admittance, and I don't know if any of you listened to that podcast recently with Simon Jordan, when he talked about, to his own admittance, you know, Leicester Tigers probably saved his career and saved, you know, made him a better person. So he's got a lot of faith in them. So yeah, I mean, I can't really see any changes in the back row either. I mean, to me, I don't know what you think, but to me, Steve Luatua seems like he's kind of on a second wind now, taking the captaincy off him. And then Magnus Bradbury, as we know. So yeah, you know, to be honest, it's probably going to be about the second half. It's going to be about the bench. And from what I saw today, the bench coming on. Say again. Well, I can let you into a little secret that, well, not a secret really, that I was at, of all places, last Saturday night, I was in the Old Vic bar at 9:30, and I was only there to pick up my daughter who was in a play, and then five of the front row came in. There was Kloska, Dan Thomas, Harry Facker, Jake Wilmore, Magnus Bradbury, all came in dressed as cowboys into the Bristol Old Vic theatre bar, which in itself was a bit weird. And I mean, I was wearing a Bristol Bears top and Dan Thomas was absolutely lashed and came over. So I thought I might ask him why he hasn't been playing, but I didn't think I'd get a sensible thing. But actually the point I'm trying to make is that Harry Facker was there and he looked fine. That was like, he looked absolutely fine. He was kind of smiling. So I just got this feeling that, you know, maybe, but then again, I've got to say, one thing we didn't mention, I thought Gabriel Ogre today was fantastic. And actually has got better as a player. I had reservations about him earlier in the season. I thought his tackling was poor. So maybe we don't need Harry Thacker, but it would be nice, wouldn't it? Be poetic. Well, we do need him, but maybe we can get away with not having him next weekend is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. We'll see what happened. But he looked nice in a cowboy hat. I'll tell that. Okay. Why not? Let's go for the bench for Thacker. Apart from that, I think we've got to go with the flow, go with the momentum, and hopefully bring back a minimum 4 points. Got to be a win. If we've got any pretensions,
got to be 4 points.
Let's go for five. I mean, I don't know if you looked at the table. We're in fourth, but everyone else is close by. It's going to be every game as it comes. We know it's going to be tough, but I don't know about you. There was just something about, you know, today, and Pat has seemed to have like taken off the shackles of his structure and his system. Steve Lansdowne's clearly had a word with him, and I reckon Pat has said, you know what, let's just do it. We've got nothing to lose. Let's go back, play rugby, see where it takes us. The annoying thing about it is if we do get in the playoffs and the final, that's like it's going well into the cricket season, which is really annoying.
Just on that basis, Pete's just mentioned about the fact that kind of Steve Lansdowne, you know, it interjected and said about, I'm getting bored, basically, with the rugby that you're playing. Like, I'm really interested, like, how we all feel about that, because for me, it was a massive decision, for Pat to actually change, like, his own stance on things. But it does seem to feel like we've, since that decision's been made, we've actually gone on, pushed on. It's like, but do you not think that's weird that the owner actually, the owner of the club actually turns around and says, you need to be sharpening up your game a little bit? It's
weird that Batman said. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, you know, I think we could all agree we were a bit of a low point as a club after that Connacht defeat away, weren't we? We got dumped out of Europe, basically. The club were languishing in eighth place in the Premiership, you know. And it's not on me to be doom and gloom in this podcast, is it, boys? But, I think, let's not count today, but we scored 142 points since that game. Lansdowne, we said, was getting a bit bored. But, you know, confidence has returned to the players, the coaches. Excitement has returned to the club. And there's now a bit of a buzz, isn't there, about the sort of play, the way we're playing. And I just, you know, and let's just say this, really, that, you know, Jeeves has now dusted off the fine wine and cigars. And I know, and I'm now smoking that fat Cuban cigar again, watching Bristol. So, it's been a bit of a reset in the old wine cellar.
Well, I think on that point, thinking about Miles smoking a fat Cuban, I think we need to move on. So we all agree we've got to get 5 points next week. So that's Newcastle done. That's Falcons preview done. We always like to have a little section in the podcast where we look at a few things. And I've kind of given it away already, but a few little things this week. But rather than talk about it to start with, particularly for Miles, I put together this little video for him, just to remind us about why the club perhaps have decided to renew the contract of one of our players, and I think we'll just play it now. Here we go. I thought we'd see what your opinions were on that re-signing.
Well, absolutely. You know, let's be clear. We've got a crazy, bum-bag-wearing, chihuahua dog-carrying, absolute nutter wordsmith as a front row. However, we bloody love Max Lahiff, don't we? You know.
So I think what Miles is trying to say is that he's solid.
He's solid, yeah. Absolutely. Let's not be rash. He's a solid player. We don't know whether this next season he's going to be our primary front rower. But, you know, we've signed Lovejoy Chawatan, haven't we? Am I right?
Get that right.
Yeah, something like that. Who we discussed last week has had fairly few games, hasn't he?
Five games.
But, you know, Max is a legend. He comes on wearing this half of this season with like almost like a sort of a Vespa-wearing scrum cap. But we love him to bits. He's a fantastic front row. I think a great re-signing.
I agree. I mean, I don't disagree. My only issue with what it's kind of highlighted a little bit is that I'm not 100% sure we're losing Carl Sinclair, who is a 100% tight head prop. You know, are we risking, we've signed Lovejoy, who was at London Irish, obviously, 32 years old, he's seasoned, but he only played 5 games this season. Now, why has he only played 5 games for Harlequins? I don't know. So I'm just wondering. And I worry a little bit. We got, amazingly and fantastically, Jan Thomas has come back. We all thought perhaps that was it for Jan Thomas, but it's not 100% tight head. Max Lahiff is not 100% tight head. He's a hybrid. My only concern is that we've just, you know, should we be spending a bit of money on a seasoned tight head prop? Because, you know, we all know that ultimately your forward pack provide the platform against better side. So I think it is great. It's great for the marketing department at the club, the social media department. They'll love having Max Lahiff. Suppliers of bum bags and whatnot. But, you know, highlights the fact we ought to have someone else. So that was the first thing, but it's good to do. Second thing, boys, a couple of, one definite departure, one rumoured, but probably will be. So Piers O'Connor to Connacht. What do you think about that, Lee?
Yeah,
I mean, pretend it's coming through because it is going there. Yeah, we have to pretend. So pretend you're talking into it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we all agree that Piers O'Connor's kind of you know, had his day in terms of the COVID era. He was amazing, wasn't he? But I don't feel that he's got a place in this squad now. And I wish him all the best, to be honest. I think he's a brilliant player.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was that kind of... I mean, when we look back to that season when we had that... We signed Galacticos. We had Charles Pieter. We had Sebi Randrand or whatever, Carl Sinclair. But we were kind of supported by these championship players or unfashionable players who played really well and stepped up. And the likes of Piers O'Connor and so on was one of them. But yeah, I think you're right. I feel for him a bit because he seems like a really nice guy. And he's, you know, he's got silky hips and on his day. I do wonder, I've got to say, whether that Bath away game at the Rec this season was, he didn't play well that one. You remember that one where he didn't give the pass? And he kind of had grown his hair long and he was flicking his hair around a little bit. Well, no, but there was, though, generally speaking... But there was, generally speaking, there was something on someone put on social media about he was like he kind of gone through a ruck and he was flicking his hair and missed a tackle. But
anyway,
so fair play. But the other rumor was Magnus Bradbury to Edinburgh. It's kind of rumored, kind of suggests it's probably going to happen. I guess to restart his Scottish career. Boys, what do you think about that? True or not?
Hard to say. We've got Bill Matter coming in, haven't we? You know, crossing the border and coming the other way. You know, you look at his reels on YouTube. He's a phenomenal player. But, you know, have we got a true out-and-out number eight as a backup for Bill Matter? Any injury? He's quite aged, isn't he? I'm not denying he's going to be a phenomenal player next season. But look, Bradbury today learned how to, you know, catch the ball off the restarts, which is...
Ooh, bit harsh,
and you know, played brilliantly, brilliantly last weekend. Yeah. And I think it's been a really fantastic career at Bristol, only a couple of years. And I think we'll all be sad to see him go, should the rumours be true.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would keep Bradbury all day long, and Bill Matter can be Bradbury's backup. Yeah, number eight.
I think the sad thing is the rumours have come when he's playing his best rugby for Bristol Bears, Magnus Bradbury, and yeah. It's a shame to think that he has to go back to Scotland to get picked for Scotland, but it may be wrong. It's only a rumour, isn't it? And we don't know, but it kind of, I feel sadly, I mean, I'm with Lee. I think it'd be a real shame to lose him. I think he's a great player. I think he's given us that go forward, particularly in the, you know, the second half of the season that, you know, we needed. So, I don't know. We'll see. That will come out in the wash, no doubt. I mean, there's a few things that are going to come out in the wash. We suspect there's a lot of players who may be out of contract. We haven't heard whether they're coming or going. They've signed a few. Say again. Well,
great,
I mean,
question.
Obviously, Santi Grandona is like a new signing if he gets fit because he hasn't played and he looked good. And obviously, his brother.
Well, I'm Benjamin.
I don't know if anyone went to Bedford. Did you go to Bedford? I mean, I saw something on YouTube. He looked like a bit of a unit. And look good, but it's hard to tell when it's a friendly. But yeah, I mean, and we've also got the guy Kofi Cripps, isn't it? He's been playing. We're looking good in the back row, to be fair. But we know it's an attritional sport. Get a couple of signings. Well, I've always suspected that this was his last season, just because he's been here so long, and he's, you know, what he's put his body through, and probably mentally because he's part of the project. But he looks like a. I wonder whether he looks, taking the captaincy off him, he looks like he's had a second win this season. So I don't know. My assumption would be that he's going to leave, but I do think one more season. I think, I'm sure Pat is very persuasive. So I think, yeah. I mean, and also with the cap going up, you know, we could probably afford him because he's obviously on a lot of cash, I imagine. So we'll see. I think we'll see. We won't know. The thing about all this sort of stuff, we don't know until we know, do we? So no. Fingers crossed that we'll see. That was it, really. Oh, no, the other thing I was going to just mention in passing, but I don't think we'll go into it. Obviously, there's you know, the season card issue. I mean, fundamentally, I don't know about you. Let's taking aside the obvious issue. Fundamentally, it was a good news story because there was barely any inflation on the season cards. But obviously... You know, it's been a lot of it has been said about the decision to move the family stand. And, you know, whilst that in itself is not necessarily a bad decision. It was probably the fact it was only done very last minute and didn't give people a chance. And I'm sure there might be one or two people here who are affected. You know, I don't know. They have at least come out and mentioned that, you know, acknowledge that there was an issue.
Pretty much,
yeah. But I don't know. I don't think it's really for us to discuss that much more. But I don't know what you think.
Well, I think, you know, we thank you for the support advisory committee, which lovely Kayleigh Parker here is a member of, you know, and we're not, you know, that's been sent out to the supporters club, and that we really appreciate their engagement with the club, and we appreciate that they are generally just supporters. They're there to be listened to by the club, and, you know, they can ignore that. But I thought that was a fantastic summary they sent out to us, saying that, you know, the club are listening. We found out this week that the CEO of Bristol Sport, you know, a bit late in the day, sent out an apology. You know, and there is a Q&A at the High Performance Centre coming up, which we couldn't get tickets for. But, you know, I hope it's not just sort of like overwhelmed by that unique, you know, error the club made. But, you know, I love the fact that, you know, the Supporters Advisory Club mentioned that they're listening about the match day experience. I mean, I'm not being funny, but like today, it was 1,000% better. The clapping was appropriate. The timing of the music was more appropriate. You know, and the feedback about, generally, we're a family show. I'd say poor merchandise, you know, that's great. So continue feeding back to that committee. They are giving their feedback to us, and we'll, you know, we'll continue sort of engaging with the club. And that was fantastic.
I'll just say, I mean, I know that it was a new initiative, the Bears Together supporters. And if you haven't seen the document that they produced, which I think is on it's on socials as well, and on the Bristol Ret website, I think it's worth reading it. And I think, you know, things don't change overnight, but I think it's they clearly, and I know Kayleigh's here, clearly working very hard on our behalf. It was very well written. I thought it was an interesting read, and we just kind of, you know, it's got to be a positive thing, but obviously, you know, progress goes like that, doesn't it? It doesn't necessarily go straight up. So big thanks. Right, I can see I've got my timer on. We've got to crack on, otherwise people are going to lose interest if they haven't done already. So the final thing we did ask people to submit a few questions to us. We're going to whip through these really, really quickly. So this one was for Lee. And Lee, this is specifically for Lee. And the question was, who's your favourite Bath fan? From Tom Dabonet, a Bath fan. So do you want to quickly answer that question to Tom? No, just talk into
just
it.
Talk into it.
It's going on YouTube.
Yeah, I'd like to certainly say Tom Dabonet is not my favourite Bath fan. My favourite Bath fan is a guy called Lloyd Rimmer. And he's yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's a much truer Bath fan than Tom Dabonet would ever be. So sorry Tom, but adios amigos.
Yeah, he do it. Okay. Number two. Where will Bristol Bears and Bristol Bears women finish this season? Roddy, that was you that asked us that one. What are you gonna do? I'm not going to do the Bristol Bears one, but the Bristol Bears women, Miles, quick answer. What do you think?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, am I right? They're sitting fourth in the table. They are, you know, they are. We'll plug the game next weekend. They are definitely going to be in the semi-final. There are some tough opponents, you know, taking aside the fact that we've got a lot of women's players out for England. Gloucester Hartbury have got even more out for international duty. It's going to be extremely tough. You know, we've got Hartbury, Saracens to play.
So where are we going to do it?
We're going to get into the final. A definite final for the women. And I can't predict more than that.
I agree, Miles. Fine, no. I'm going to go further. I'm going to say final. But given that when both teams fully loaded, I mean, next week is the Premiership kind of equivalent cup. Bring back the bacon for that, for sure. And then I think we'll end up in the final. And I think it will probably be against Saracens, to be fair. And we pushed them hard. And I think the Bears are definitely on the upward trajectory. I think we're going to win it. Yeah! Right, next one. Which player is Bristol's unsung hero of the Lamb era? Alistair Stevens, someone. He lives up in Northampton, doesn't he, or somewhere. But go, Lee.
Without doubt for me, Cialli Pietro. Oh, absolutely, okay. Without doubt.
Yeah, good answer.
I mean, that guy was just... He was just glue. You know, he just transformed everything we did. And when he didn't play, we lost. And it was job done.
Brilliant.
Cialli Pietro.
Cialli Pietro. Miles?
Love it. I'm going to go a man with no ACLs on both knees, Alapati Leua for me.
Good shout.
You know.
According to
Joe
Joyce, he's got no ACLs,
fantastic.
Apparently. I was the hardest man.
Joyce, you know, player.
It's quite hard because I immediately thought, oh, Luke Morahan. But I thought, well, actually, no, he's a sung player. He's not an unsung player. I mean, to be fair, it's a hard one, that. But I think your two answers will do. Let's move on. Next one. Basically, because I can't think of an answer. Okay, now this one. Who would you pick to start? Harry Randall, Gus Pichot. Tricky. Nick Howell. Lee, what do you reckon? That one. Randall or Gus Pichot? Just talk.
Okay.
It's happening.
I mean, that is a really good question from Nick as well. To be honest, they're both great players, but for me, Harry Randall's on the way up, but Gus Pichot was a class act, and he was part of our history going into the. You know, he was part of the foundation. So I'm going to have to go to Gus Pichot all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. It's hard, you can't really compare like for like, to be honest, and different eras. But, you know, I agree with you. He was at the top of his game, I guess. Harry Randall is almost at the top of his game. You know, cost a lot of money. things
nearly
went wrong afterwards.
The club, maybe.
But I mean, I'd probably say my favourite memory, and I know a lot of people's memory of the men, would be actually Felipe Contepone when he clapped his own try. It's a classic. And that, you know, that was that. I came to Bristol 1999 to do teacher training. You know, went and started watching the rugby up the Mem, and you know, I do remember those and having proper big international players playing is what attracts people to it. But I've got to say, fair play to Harry Randall. He's just had twins. And he's had a few knockbacks. You know, he's had a few knockbacks. He's been on the edge of it. He's been mucked around a bit. You know, I think he will become a Bristol legend. But out of interest, if you think that Gus Pichot is better, is the best, show of hands. Pichot. Oh, interesting. Harry Randall. Randall gets it on our small survey. Excellent. Right, next one. This one was a bit tricky. What's your choice for the next year's first 15? I take too long. So I think we'll just say, are there any obvious gaps that we need to fill?
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I think we need a new tight head and a new number 10.
Yeah.
I think that's the two areas that I think we really need to work on.
I always add to that.
Yeah, I can't disagree. AJ has just transformed our game since he's been back. But you're right. He's 35 next year. A phenomenal player, but we need... It's tricky. Do we, you know, the likes of Lesterbott, an out-and-out expensive player, and Andre Pollard, they haven't quite... hasn't quite come off, has it? But, you know, and you could argue a phenomenal international number 10. As long as they fit into the Bears system and the Bears way, definitely number 10.
I think the principle is there are certain, I think, certain positions you don't muck around with that change the game. Fly half is one. Front row is another. I think that'll be our two. A fly half that can cover for AJ if he gets injured, and we'll go for it. Right, next one. Let's quick rack on. What happened to Brizzy Bear? Well, I saw him today. I saw him. Nothing. Nothing. I think he just hibernated in the winter. Yeah. So fair play to Brizzly. He actually came over to the Dolman today. So fair play to him. Here we go. Can we make right? This is what we're going to do. This is my one plan. Hang on. No. Wait. What we're going to do is I'm going to say 3-2-1. You're either going to say yes, no, or maybe. All right. So here we go. 3-2-1. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, thoughts on the future of Premiership Rugby? That's a big question, to be fair. That's for another time,
that's,
I think.
That's a question.
I don't think we're going to do it.
That's a question beyond our means
beyond
tonight.
Our abilities. Obviously, a lot of issues. There's a lot of it. If you're, you know, there's a lot of questions about it. Clearly needs to be financially redone. There probably needs a bit of a revamp of the way. I mean, I noticed today that Chinner have been promoted up to the Championship. They're going to have 12 teams, but no relegation. I don't know.
But who personally would like to who personally here would like to have games against the Welsh teams again? Cardiff.
Absolutely.
All day long, isn't it?
So what we're basically saying, the future of Premiership Rugby, we need a bit more Welsh. That's what we do. Brilliant. A lot of us were shouting Pat out a few months ago, including, I think, Lee. Do you still feel the same from Paul P? Is Paul P here? Nope. So lucky. So Lee, answer that one.
Right. So first of all, I should say, I wasn't actually calling for Pat Lamb's head. What I was calling for was a little bit of honesty and a little bit of kind of I kind of feel like we've gone through a lot of bullshit with Pat Lamb, if I'm honest, and I just wanted a little bit of honesty and a little bit of yeah.
So you're saying Pat out of his shell, a bit more honesty rather than Pat leave the club.
I never called for his head, even though loads of people did. But ultimately, I think that we needed that honesty to actually move forward. But since Steve Lansdowne actually turned in and, kicked him on the ass, basically, whoever said that.
I think Lee wrote an article in the Bristol Post just after New Year saying, after that Exeter game, sort of basically saying, that we could all see that wasn't a great game. Things didn't happen in the second half, but we want talk to us properly about it. And you said the New Year's resolution, it wasn't like out, it's just like do something different. Mm. Steve Lansdowne clearly read that article, had a word with that. And look what's happened now! We've scored nearly 100 points. So it was Lee Watt done it, all right? So there we go. Okay, I like this one. Do you guys dare to believe, can we make it? I mean, I read this. I was like, what are you talking about? Just generally in life or whatever? Of course we can. I think after today, the stats suggest it. I say yes. Dare we believe, can we win it this season? Yeah, of course we can.
Of course we can. There are some, as we know, there's some bloody tough games coming up. We're sat fourth in the table. We can't muck around now, can we? We need to go win Leicester next weekend, beat Saris at home, and
Quins will be like either they'll have been kicked by the who are they playing in the semi final? I can't remember now. They'll either be in the European final and thinking of someone else, or they'll all be like they've been kicked to shreds. So we'll do it. Here we go.
We can do it. We can do it.
That one from Tom. Now I know Tom's here. I've got to say, big shout, Tom was the first person to sign up for this tonight. So. Tom, your question was, would you rather have... So basically what you're saying is, would you rather have won some silverware, like the Premiership Cup, or be kind of in it to win it? I mean, I don't know about you, silverware is... I mean, think back to the Challenge Cup. It was great. It was a challenge. Winning silverware is great. We kind of blew that this season, really. Didn't get a chance. But, where we are now, don't know, boys. What do you think? Personally, I say being it. In the chance of the playoffs, that's what I say.
Yeah, it's a great question, Tom. Actually, I would say, personally, I don't know. I'd rather we were in the top four this year.
Yeah,
and with no ambitions of cup, and at least getting that top four, and then next season we go again.
Miles?
Yeah.
Agree?
I think all fans, we were hugely disappointed to be dumped out of Europe in the way it happened. It was an absolute, kicking the ghoulies at Connacht, wasn't it? It was an appalling game. an appalling game. For those fans who travelled over there, it was awful. Steve Lansdowne hated it. We hated it. We went back to our Bristol Bears style of rugby. Hey, quiet in the crowd, you two.
So just give us an answer, Miles. An answer. Cup,
yes,
or playoffs?
No, playoffs. Playoffs any day of the week.
Okay, right. As we hit 10 years at BS3, what is your team of that period? I think that's for another pod, or that's for people to reply. What do we say? We did say beforehand that we might just say what is our Well, what's what our favourite player of the period?
I mean, what we said is actually that question is amazing because 10 years at BS3, it's so difficult to choose a 15 from that period. And so we said, actually, what we would rather do is put that out on a poll to all the supporters. Because, like, when I started doing that, I had about 35 names, you know what I mean? Jack Lamb, you remember Jack Lamb? And, you know, it's like, we had so many players going in there. And we just thought, let's put it out, because that's such a good question that we could all, like, benefit from.
Yeah. No, I think so. What we're basically saying, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, but it's a great question. Marcus did it, and it is here he is. It was your question, Marcus.
Marcus,
we basically said we don't know. It's too difficult to answer it, but we'll put it out there.
We loved the question.
Yeah, it was a great question. Okay, I think signings. We kind of covered that. I don't know if Mark's in here, but I feel like we might have covered that a bit with what we think we need. Are we going to struggle? I don't think so. No. I think we're back where we want to be. We're back. And then if you could bring in, this is quite a good one. Weimark. Is anyone here? Weimark? That's Weimark.
It's Weimark.
Quite like this one. I mean, it's one of those ones that kind of you indulge yourself with. Personally, I'd say a French player. Oh. I'd like a French player. I don't know why. but they'll never come because we don't pay enough. So, but personally, one player I do like Gregory Aldrete. I don't know why. But I know we don't need him, but I just quite like him. Obviously, I don't know. What about you?
Right. So for me, I like my practical head says we need a tight head, Tad Furlong, all day long. Job done.
Miles?
I don't know. The problem is that all the best international number 10s are never going to come to the UK, are they? However, you know, Leicester have got Andre Pollard, so it's not what... Well, there we go. You see, Marcus Smith from Queens.
Actually, you know what? I've just remembered what I was going to say. There was some genuine chat that he might be available, and that was Damian McKenzie. New Zealand. The World Cup.
Signed now, wasn't it?
I thought it was fantastic. I'd love to see him sometime. But I don't know. DuPont. Yeah, of course. But
the thing is, it's easy to go for the big names, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like, you know,
I don't know.
We have to think left field.
Right. We'll do two more. Miles, very quick. If Steve Lansdowne withdrew his financial backing, that's John's question. It's very simple, Miles.
Well,
yes or no?
Well, you know, like I said, it's a different question. It's fine wine cigars versus supporting my favourite club. Yeah, and also the Duchess would have to cut back on a shoe collection. So, but yeah, I'd step in there and I'd support the Bears for one game.
One from Kate, sat at the front. I guess this is mainly towards
Kate.
Lee. Pre-match rituals. Lee?
Well,
you just got to protect yourself.
Yeah, so Kate, so apart from the... Kate, I won't be showing you them again, promise you. So I am wearing the lucky pants. And by the way, did we win 85 points to something today?
Lucky pants.
Sorry, fellas and girls, but apparently, like, we can't show that sort of stuff on.
So, quick answer for me is no.
No.
Quick answer is no, don't believe in all that sort of stuff. Miles, what about you?
No, just turn up on time. Yeah. Wear your Bristol Bears kit.
Yeah, that's good. I think this you'll be pleased to know, almost the final one. What does success look like this season? Well, winning, it helps.
Winning.
I mean, everything's better when we win. And I think playoffs.
Playoffs.
No one's got a right to win the league, but you've got to be in it to win it. So, and final question, you'll be pleased to know. How difficult is it to be honest during the podcast? Lee, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, it's not that difficult at all, to be honest, because we've all gone through a load of shit together, haven't we? All of us, you know, throughout the years. But for me, it's always has to be about honesty. The thing is, like, we know what we see on the field, so we can't turn around and have a pod and pretend that everything's all glory and, you know, hallelujah. If things are crap, then we have to point them out. But as a collective, I think we actually do have a balance between us. But it's not that difficult, to be honest, because we all go through the same shit every week, don't we?
Although not today, obviously. That was quite good. But yeah.
Today was brilliant.
I mean, I think Lee's absolutely right. I mean, it's a podcast that we just do in our spare time, you know, made by fans for fans. We feel that we don't, you know, we do think it's important not to be personal. It's not to be sort of disrespectful. But, you know, we pay money. We go and watch it. If we see something, we say what we see. And we, as we say, we try and be balanced. And I think
it
works.
Yeah, I think we pay our money for season ticket holders, don't we? And paying fans on the day. And there's a certain level of rugby which we come to expect with the Bristol Bears because that's what we've seen. And that's the trajectory and what we've been promised by Pat Lamb. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Not Newcastle fans, you know. And I think as long as they're honest, you know, we will praise the club week in, week out. And if things don't go well, we've been a bit critical in the past, but I think that is our right as paying customers.
But ultimately, what we genuinely would like to say is, like, we appreciate all of you guys turning up today because, like, you absolutely contribute to the pod more than we do. And it's genuinely so humbling that you guys have turned up tonight, and you know it's been absolutely fantastic. And we all go through all the shit together. I love it.
Yeah.
And Pete.
Oh, you know.
Well. Cheers, John.
Thank you.
And I think on that note, I think that's a good time to finish. So, yeah, I think we'll finish off.
Bristol! 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 Bristol!